Amen. Thank you all. Thank you all. What good singing. Amen. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful singing. Turn in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I want you to prayerfully listen to me tonight. This morning I preached on, it was sort of a Mother's Day sermon, but it was a sermon for all women, especially those of our church. If you didn't listen to it, go back and listen to it. It concerned the mothers, the grandmothers, the widows, the unmarried, the childless, just the workers and laborers, godly women. And so go back and read that if you will and listen to it. I think it was the need of the hour. And then tonight I want to kind of preach a pastoral message. You know, as pastor, a lot of young guys, they think they're great evangelists and great preachers and all that stuff, you know, and they strive to be. And I guess that's okay. You ought to be the best you can be at what you do. But I've never strived to be anything. I've never strived to be great. I've never thought of myself as a great preacher. I've always wanted to be a good pastor. I want to be a good pastor. And, if good preaching comes along with that, I thought that would help it. I've never thought of myself as evangelizing the world and standing in front of great crowds of people and all this stuff. I've never thought of that. And so tonight I want to be your pastor, okay? I just want to talk to you a little bit and be your pastor. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I'm going to skip around through 1 Timothy, so bear with me, okay? Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, add the blessing of the reading of your holy word. And I pray tonight, God, that you would speak to us, inspire us, motivate us, convict, convert, whatever needs to be done. And then help me, Lord. Give me the words to say the right way. And give me, put a guard at my lips. I wouldn't say anything I shouldn't, but give me holy boldness. And at the same time, give me humility to remember who I am. And then, Lord, if anything's ever done out of this, we probably won't know until we get to heaven. So we're just going to trust you with what you do with your word, and we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul writing to the young preacher Timothy. And he wasn't his son, but he was his son in the faith. So I imagine that means he may have won him to the Lord. I don't know if he did or not. But it kind of sounds like that. He called him his son in the faith. And as a young man, I always put myself in Timothy's place because I was a young preacher. And now, though I'm not a Paul or a great anything, I kind of want to put myself in the pastor's place talking to the young preacher and talking to young Christians and talking to Christians about God's will and things like that. But he said in verse 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some, or tell them, charge them, that they teach no other doctrine, neither giving heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and a good conscience, and faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Boy, don't we hear that on television? Vain jangling. Just talking to be heard, will you say. Desiring to be teachers of the law. Now, God didn't call them to be teachers. They desired to be teachers. Now, in a minute, you're going to say it's okay to desire some things from God. But these men were not doing it for God. They were doing it for themselves. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Now, skip over into verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry.
Yes, sir.
Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. He hurt people. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, here's what he's saying. He's saying, Timothy, I left you there and I headed off and I left you at Ephesus while I went to Macedonia and I had to go preach and I thought I could trust you. I believed I could trust you and I want to warn you about some things. I want to warn you about some kinds of people so that you won't be swayed. You won't be intimidated. I remember as a young preacher, a young pastor, I'd get intimidated by older men, you know, and sometimes even by older women in the church. They just intimidate you. You ever had any of them, Billy?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Amen. They live to do that. That's what they live for. And they think they get recognition, and they go home, and at lunch on Sunday morning, they say, I straightened that preacher out. No, you didn't. You just showed your ignorance is all you did. You just showed your ignorance. By the way, God didn't call me to straighten nobody out. No, never. I don't straighten you out. Only God can straighten somebody out.
That's right.
Preacher Moore, Pastor Moore, one of my former pastors, he's in heaven now. He used to have a sign when he first went in the vestibule. He said, I don't preach you. He said, I don't preach to catch you. I don't preach to get you. I don't preach to straighten you out. I preach to help you. That's what I preach for. I preach to help you. Now, he's telling Timothy, he said, now, you know where I came from. He said, you know where I came from. And what I did, he said, but I did it ignorantly. I didn't know any better. And the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in him is what saved me. And he said, and then he counted me worthy to put me into ministry. He didn't say mama did it. He didn't say daddy did it. He didn't say Dr. Doolittle did it. He said he, Jesus Christ, counted him worthy to put him into ministry. Now, I want you to skip over, if you will, in verse, let's see, chapter 1, verse 18. I'm skipping a lot. You ought to read this whole book here. First Timothy is all about this. In verse 18, he said, this charge, I'm telling you this, I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith, and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. He said, now Timothy, I'm telling you this, you listen to me, I'm charging you. I'm telling you something you need to listen to. According to what God has said about you, Timothy, you're going to be in a war. You're going to be in a war and you have to fight a good warfare. And don't get sidetracked like somehow and get shipwrecked. This is a war that you're in, Timothy. And then chapter 2, he said, I exhort you. Now, exhort means I'm trying to tell you how to do this, lifting you up with it. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Did he say all men there? All men? Every man? Good men? Bad men? Crooks, politicians, crooked preachers, crooked women, ungodly men, ungodly women, reprobates, homosexuals, transvestites, bank robbers, thieves, liars, all men, pray for all men. He said, now I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to lift this up to you, I'm trying to exhort you. Therefore, the first thing you need to do is learn how to pray for people. I've been from one extreme to the other in Baptist churches. I was saved in a Southern Baptist church, which if you know anything about the convention, it's gone. We don't even have to talk about it. It's gone. And I know some of my friends are in it and some of them still defend it. God bless you. Hope you can eke you out a little corner in that mess and just serve Jesus. But I'd come out from among them. I have. But let me tell you this. People are, no matter what organization, whatever it is, there's good and bad in both, and there's one extreme to the other, right to the left. In religion, in politics, in any kind of train of thought or study, there's some crazy people on both sides.
That's right. Amen.
I said crazy. They're out of their mind. We say down Lancaster, plumb crazy. Plumb crazy. They're plumb crazy, brother. He's telling them, watch out for these people, but pray for them. Because you used to be crazy too.
Wow.
Yeah. Amen. We all were. We were all crazy. It was a supernatural act of God that put us in our right mind.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, there's some people I don't like, but I wouldn't pray for one to go to hell. I wouldn't pray for one to be hurt. I say, God, open his eyes. Open her eyes. Let her see. Open their ears. Let them hear. Let them see what a mess they're really in and the trouble that they're causing. And sometimes God does and sometimes he doesn't. But you ought to pray for them anyway. There's so much in here I wanted to preach, but my time will not let me. Now, listen to this. In chapter 3, verse 1, we're going to skip right over that women in the church, but I'll go ahead and tell you what it says. There's no such thing as a woman pastor, preacher, evangelist, deacon, things like that. Every woman's a preacher. You're either preaching good or you're preaching bad by the way you live and by the way you talk. And if you're a Christian, you're either holding up your light or you're hiding it under a bush or your light ain't lit. Every woman's a preacher. Every man's a preacher. Everyone that names the name of Christ is a preacher. But as far as the church and the order of the church, he said because Adam was first, then you got pastors and you got deacons and so on. So then I get to chapter 3. He says this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Now, bishop, elder, pastor, all mean the same thing. They all have the same qualifications. They all mean the same thing. But one of the main things is, well, not the main thing, but one of the things is you have to be the husband of one wife. So therefore, you can't be a woman and be the husband of one wife. I feel the darts. Amen. But I didn't write that rule. God did. My wife's a lot smarter than me in a lot of areas. I didn't say every area. But a lot of areas, my wife's a lot smarter than me. I need her. She's my woman to complete her. She completes me. But I'm not going to... Let's go on. I love my wife. She preaches to me. But she can't pastor. Amen.
Amen.
And she wouldn't want to if she could. I can't even get her to get up here and lead the singing. But chapter 3, verse 1 says, this is a true saying. If a man desired the office of a bishop, pastor, elder, whichever name you want to use there, he desires a good work. If a young man like Timothy gets saved by the grace of God, or even Paul gets saved by the grace of God, and God puts it in their heart, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Didn't he say that? The only thing most people don't like is he's the one that makes the desires to put in your heart. You don't get just any old desire you want because your heart's deceitfully wicked and you can't know it and your desires are wrong half the time. So God puts it into the heart of a man to be a bishop, pastor, elder, and that man has to surrender to that or not. And he can go to heaven and not surrender to it. But he says, if a man desires that, it is a good work. But some things he left off. It's hard work. It's heartbreaking work. Sometimes it's disappointing work. Sometimes it's unappreciated work. And it can go on and on and on. But it's a good work. And if God put it in your heart, Tom, then that's what you ought to do. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. And by the way, I learned a long time ago, I'm not pastor to please anybody but God. That's the only one I got to please. That's it. Now, that don't mean that I get to pick what color the chairs are. I really don't give a hoot what color chair you buy. That don't mean I get to pick what flowers go up here. I'm a man. There wouldn't be a flower in here. I don't think there was any in here when we first came. There wasn't nothing hanging. A man must have been running the place. I look at my daughter and Joey, my wife, say, do you think we could put, I don't care, put up anything you want to, you know. As pastor, it's a good thing to want to be a pastor. Now, pastor is the spiritual part of the job. Now, let me go on and read. Verse 2, a bishop, pastor, elder, then must be blameless, not perfect, means he's got a good testimony. The husband of one, wait a minute, one wife? Yeah. The husband of one wife, vigilant, that means he stays awake and watches for old devil. Sober, that means he ain't nipping, and he's in his right mind. Of good behavior, he's not out there cussing and fussing at everybody. Of good behavior, given the hospitality, he doesn't mind entertaining people, especially to be able to get to preach to them, teach to them, or lead them to Christ. Apt to teach. I've heard preachers say, I don't teach, I preach. I said, well, then you don't qualify. Tonight, I'm preaching, but I'm teaching too. And sometimes, like Sunday school, I put my podium down here, and I'll just teach verse by verse. And sometimes it'll break out into preaching, but most time I try to keep it teaching so people can understand it. Preaching is a broad brush. That's painting with a broad brush. Teaching is a narrow brush. Let's narrow in on this subject. And then, he not only says that, he says not given to wine. Well, that would close the Presbyterian, the Methodist, the Episcopalian, the, but anyway, no striker. No striker. I heard a preacher in a town close to here years ago. He was having church trouble, and they say he took his shoe off, and he put it up on the pulpit, and he got a hammer and a nail, and drove a nail through that shoe, and he said, I'm not leaving, you'll have to leave. Now, that's a striker. I heard another one say that he would fight. He would fight. The one right here in town, at least once, I know, I think maybe more, he took his pistol off and laid it right up here on the pulpit, right there. I knew another one. He had a Bible about that thick, and when I was a young preacher, I wondered why he had a Bible that thick, and he carried another Bible under his other arm. And finally, one day, he's bragging on it to some of us, and he opened up that Bible, and he had a little derringer in that Bible where he had cut the Bible out a hole in it so that derringer would fit down in there, because he was afraid people was going to jump on him and kill him because he was so stinking mean. Striker. Or not be a striker. Amen?
Amen.
I don't want to fight nobody. I've never liked fighting. I've never liked fighting. I get hurt. I don't like to hurt. Amen. I've never been a fighter. Amen. I could outrun anybody. And by the way, all those boys used to beat up on me all the time when I was a kid. They're all dead. Jesus said, you die, you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. Amen, Billy?
Surely did.
Amen. You put your sword up, didn't you? No. If you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. And that means a striker. Somebody goes around cutting people, he's going to get cut. Let's go on. Y'all didn't like that part. Should I back up? Y'all thinking on that one? Now, listen to this. Not greedy of filthy lucre. You know what filthy lucre is? I didn't say liquor. That was in the other part of that verse. Money, filthy money, things of this world, greedy of money. Money's filthy. Y'all worried about germs? I tell you what, you want to spray something, wash something, you might ought to get that money that they give you and wash it and spray it. You don't know all the people's handling that money. And you don't know where their hands was before it got to your dollar bill either. I used to sell beepers in Charlotte up on Clanton Road. And we had a lot of questionable clients. That's back when nobody had cell phones. There wasn't no cell phone. There was a bag phone. You could get a bag phone back then for $150 deposit. And then it was $50 a month, I think it was, to use it. But most people had beepers. And they'd walk into my office and they'd want to buy a beeper, you know. And then I had one guy that had 15 beepers. Lived in the middle of Charlotte. I said, what do you do with all these? You got some kind of business? He said, no, I put these on my boys. He said, I'm going to sign them up, and then they come in here and pay for it. I ain't paying for it no more. I'm only paying for one time. And sure enough, his boys come in, teenage boys, and they'd reach down in their britches, not their pocket, in their britches, and pull out a roll of ones and fives like that and pay their bill. And I'd take that money and I'd put it in the cash register and I'd run back there to the bathroom and wash my filthy lucre. That's what he's saying here. Dishonest money. And boy, how many have gotten hurt because of loving money? Amen. Be patient. Not a brawler. That means a fighter. Not covetous. Don't want what people got. Want one that ruleth his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity, meaning that his kids ain't out of control. How you gonna preach somebody else if your kids are out of control? Amen. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice. A novice is a beginner. I used to be a novice. Amen. Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And then he gives the deacons a requirement. It's almost exactly the same. Now, he's telling young Timothy, this is what I don't want you to be. This is what God doesn't want you to be. And look, did you know I went to Bible college before? Well, when I went to the Southern Baptist College, none of this was ever heard. It was taught in the independent Baptist Bible college I went to. But in the Southern Baptist College, and did you know they had women there way back then? Way back then. Women studying for the ministry. Yeah. And you know what they told us in chapel one day? He said, the man said, some of you fellas have approached these young ladies about them wanting to be pastor. He said, stop it. That's none of your business. And it wasn't our business. I wouldn't have done that. But some were doing it. He said, you don't know what they're supposed to be. Well, I know they ain't supposed to be pastor. But we were young. We didn't know any better. And nobody told us this stuff right here. Let's go on. Now, he says, he's there in chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. That means it can't be misunderstood. The Holy Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, would you say that's where we are? Would you agree with that? We're at the last of the latter times. In the latter time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And boy, how many have we seen do that in our lifetime? Amen? We've seen them go off to deep end and give heed to seducing spirits. That's old demonic spirits. You better watch out, I'm telling you. Amen. And listen to this. He goes on through some other things about dangers, what these people will say. And then he gets to verse 6. He said, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. He said, now, Timothy, if you'll just remind people of this stuff, you'll be a good preacher. You'll be a good pastor. You'll be a good minister, Timothy. And don't you change roads. Don't you go down there to the left and don't go down there to the right. You stay down the straight and narrow. And if you'll do that, and then you'll put others in remembrance of that, you'll be a good minister. Now, that's a good pastor's prayer right there. That's a good pastor's prayer. That's what a real pastor wants to do. He says this down in verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. To doctrine? Mm. Wait a minute, doctrine?
That's what it says.
And how many Baptist preachers I ever heard say, well, I don't preach doctrine, I just preach Jesus. They're either ignorant on purpose or they're just ignorant. Or are they lying? Amen. If you preach Jesus, you got to, that's doctrine. You got to have a holy Bible to preach about a holy Savior that'll take you to a holy heaven to show you you're an unholy person. Amen. That's doctrine. Every bit that's doctrine. You gotta have a doctrine to teach doctrine in order to teach people they're sinners. You gotta teach doctrine to teach people they need a Savior. You gotta teach doctrine in order to show people the Savior. You gotta preach doctrine in order to show who He was, what He did, what He said. You gotta teach doctrine to talk about His resurrection. You gotta teach doctrine to talk about His second coming. You gotta teach doctrine to talk, to preach and teach about heaven and a new world and a new heaven and the new earth. And how are you not going to preach doctrine? You can't be a good preacher and a good pastor and not preach doctrine, teach doctrine. You can't do it. You can't do it. I don't care what anybody says. You cannot do it. Verse 14, he says, neglect not. Neglect not. Don't overlook this. Don't neglect it. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Now, wait a minute. The gift that's in thee? The gift that's in thee? Well, let's see what he's talking about. Which was given thee by prophecy or forthtelling. Well, always remember, in the New Testament, it means forthtelling. In the Old Testament, it means foretelling. Which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. The presbytery is other pastors of the same faith. The presbytery is other pastors of the same faith. Now, he said, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to who? In other words, if a pastor will do what he's supposed to do and avoid what he's not supposed to do or say and preach what he's supposed to preach, it will not only help him, but it'll help everybody around him. Amen. You know who gets preached to most around here? Me. I'm the first one to read it. I'm the first one to think about it. I'm the first one to try to apply it to me. I get preached to more than anybody. You can go out of here and say, oh, I don't agree with the preacher. Well, I can't do that because my preacher's Jesus.
Amen.
I can't say I don't agree with my pastor. I can't do that. The Holy Ghost is my pastor. How can I do that? Now, you might have that choice, but I don't have that choice. I've got to do what he says, so therefore, everything that I do, the way he preaches it to me, then I'm going to preach it, and it'll profit all, see? It'll profit everybody. I don't sit around here on Sunday and say, how can I help these people make $1 million? I ain't never seen $1 million. If you got $1 million, it'd ruin you. A stimulus check ruined half of them this last month. And they were still working and got an extra check. What did they do with that extra check? They put it right out there at Walmart. Down here, just a restaurant and everywhere else. Look, we need to, as preachers, I need to do this because it'll benefit me. And if it benefits me, it'll benefit all. It'll profit all. See? I'm getting somewhere. Hang on. Don't look at your watch no more, Billy. I'm hurrying, okay? I got a clock right there. I can watch it, all right? I got a clock. I saw him watching, looking at his wife's watch. He was over.
He got no watch either.
He went, where's your watch? Oh, that ain't a watch. Listen. But I'm getting somewhere. Hang on. Okay. Now, he said, take heed unto who? Take heed unto thyself. Timothy, take heed unto thyself. Listen to what I'm saying, Timothy, for you. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I didn't pick this as a profession. I used to work at Bendix Brake Systems in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'll be through in 6 minutes. And I used to work at Bendix Heavy Vehicle Systems Brake. That would scare you. We made air brakes for those big old Ford tractor trailer trucks. That would scare you. If you'd known that, you wouldn't have got in front of a Ford tractor trailer truck, would you? I was in the machine shop building those brakes. Ain't that something?
That is.
And I was going to Bible college at night, so I was tired and didn't want to be there. So, who knows what happened. But every day, we'd go to, I'd go outside. They had a little covered picnic shelter, and I'd go out there to read my Bible and eat. And pretty soon, these elderly white Christian ladies started coming out there with their Bible. And then pretty soon, these two elderly black ladies, they started coming out there with their Bible. And so we'd have a Bible study. And they'd let the little old preacher boy, 20-something years old, they'd let the little preacher boy lead them in a Bible study. I felt so honored. I felt so honored. And they'd bring me stuff to eat. I wasn't no bigger around than that pole right there. I was so skinny. And they'd bring me stuff to eat. And they said, man, you just eat and eat and eat. We're going to bring you some more. And they bring me cake and they bring me pie. My wife fixed me lunch. She always fixed me a big lunch. But those ladies thought I needed to be fattened up. And I'm glad to help them. And they'd bring me food, you know, at lunch. And I'd eat it. And finally I told them, I said, lady, I appreciate this so much. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a deal with you. I said, you cook all these things you like. You cook all the cakes, all the pies, all desserts. Bring them to me because you enjoy cooking them. I said, bring them to me and you can watch me eat them and enjoy watching me eat them. And you won't get fat and I won't either. But then one day this boy walked out there and he had on this garden party t-shirt with champagne and beer pictures on it, you know, from some so-called denominational Christian college, you know, he was going to. He was going to a Presbyterian college. And he sat out there and that day I talked about the new birth. And before I got to talking, though, he was talking to the ladies and they wanted to know where that shirt come from. He told him, he said, well, I'm going to seminary to be a Methodist pastor. And one of them said, well, that's a Presbyterian school. He said, that doesn't matter. As long as I get the degree, the Methodists will accept it. And it's closer to my house and all this stuff, you know. And the other woman said, why did you decide to do that? He said, well, my father-in-law told me that would be a good profession. He said, so I thought, yeah, you're probably right. I would only work 1 or 2 hours a week. That's right, real lucrative. And one of the black ladies looked at him and said, that's a wrong reason to be preaching, son. And so we went on with the Bible study on new birth. When we got through, we got up to go back inside. The bell went off, you know, we was going back inside. And he told one of those ladies, he said, I'm going to have to come to these more often. I learned something today. And she turned around and looked at him and said, you sure do need to come. And then the next day we were out there and we were having our Bible study and up this young black man, nice, very polite young man. He was a parts inspector. He'd come by and inspect my parts, you know, and we'd have conversations, you know, and everybody in there learned that I was going to be a preacher, you know. And so he would ask me about things in the Bible and I couldn't find out, I didn't find it out then, but I thought they sounded like Jehovah's Witness. So he comes out there that day and he sits down and we're doing our Bible study and he said, wait a minute, let me go to the car and get my Bible. And he went to his car and come back one of them great big old New World Translations. And I remember that old black lady looked at that little and said, Jehovah false witness. My goodness. And so, he come up there and sat with us and we talked that day and I taught out the Bible that day, you know, and, whenever we got through, he said, I enjoy this. I'm going to start coming all the time. And they told him the same thing. You need to come, you know. And later on, there's another story about that I ain't got time to go into. But I was saying all that to say this. Look, this is not something you just pick to do. I never would have picked this. I never would have. And all kind of reasons. But let me hurry. He says in verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself holy, not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, completely. Don't hold nothing back. Give thyself holy to them that thy profiting may appear to all, so that people will say, now, that's a preacher. God blesses that man right there. That's a pastor. God blesses him. And take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I said all that to say this. Most people in the day we live don't know what a pastor is. They really don't. They have no clue. Young people now have no clue. Now, when I was growing up, I thought all preachers were pastors. I didn't know the difference. But there's a lot of young men in the ministry now that don't know what a pastor is. They've never been taught. But the sad thing is they refuse to be taught. They don't want to hear it. And they'll get mad at you if you talk about it. And they don't read the Bible. So they don't know. They don't read the Bible. You say, well, they're preaching every Sunday. Yeah, but they're not reading the Bible. They're coming up with some kind of idea, and then they're hunting up scripture to match their idea. They're not reading the Bible and getting ideas. They're getting ideas and then making the Bible match their idea. Now, life's full of a lot of hard decisions. It is. Life's full of hard decisions. And it all depends on your calling and your position in society. Everybody makes hard decisions. You do, we all do. We've all made some bad decisions. We've all made some stupid decisions. Now, depending on your calling or your position, the child doesn't have to make the decisions that the adult does or the parent does or the grandparent does. But as an adult, as a spouse, as a parent, as an employee, as an employer, as a pastor, as a deacon, the decisions are serious. Every decision we make is serious. Amen. And you, in this life, you better make your election and calling sure. What God called you to do? Did he call you to be a mother? Then you do it with all your might. Did he call you to be a father? Then do it with all your might. Did he call you to be a son? Well, be a son until you get to be a father with all your might. A daughter, be a daughter until you get the opportunity to be a mother and do that with all your might. Did he call you to sing in the choir? Sing in the choir with all your might. Did he call you to sing plunking a guitar? Plunk the guitar with all your might and sing. Amen. Or playing the piano. Whatever he calls you to do. They're serious decisions, and we live in a generation of people who are not taking life seriously. When I grew up, my goal was to get a job and get my own place and get my own transportation and live for myself. And I made that decision as a young teenager. And now you're seeing 40-year-old teenagers living at home. Yeah. Just living at home. And not working. It wouldn't be so bad if they worked. They don't even work. But as a pastor, I've had to make some decisions that's really affected other people's lives too. And I've made some good ones and I've made some not so good ones. But as I get older, I find out that there's a lot of goodness in a multitude of counselors. I'm not the smartest man in this church. I'm not. I'm not the best man in this church. I'm not the best Christian in this church. I'm not. But I know those that are, and I can go to them and get advice. I may take it, I may not. I'm going to follow the Lord. But God puts people in your life to help you make those decisions. Amen. I didn't have a father. So therefore, I made decisions as a young man that if I'd had a father, I'd have known better. But I didn't know any better, so I had to learn the hard way. I never had a father, so I didn't know how to be one. I had to learn on the hoof how to raise my children. My wife was a great mother, and she had a great father and a great mother, and she knew a lot, and God bless her. She just about raised our children those first few years by herself because I didn't know what to do. And then I surrendered to preach. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. I thought I was going to surrender to preach, go tell my pastor. He's going to say, now let me tell you what to do. I went to my pastor. I said, what I do now? He said, I've made some decisions, hard decisions. I'm going to tell you probably, and I'm going to cut off probably two-thirds of what I really wanted to say, but closing this church was the hardest decision I've had to make as a pastor since I've been a pastor. That was hard. I know you may not think much of my preaching, but there's some old ladies in here that like my preaching and depend on it. There's some old men in here like my preaching. They depend on it. And I'm not the best preacher in town. I'm just the one they got. You wasn't supposed to like that, Sister Petty, on that part about not being the best. But when I close this church, hey, I didn't know how to do that. I've never done that. And I sought advice. I really did. I sought advice from men from this church and other preachers. It is really hard. Prayer and seeking God and me and my wife talking and not knowing what to do. I didn't call the mayor. I didn't call the governor. I called on my Father, my Heavenly Father.
Amen.
And now we're about to open it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's just about as hard to open it as it was to close it. That might shock you that I said that. Yeah. The coronavirus is not fake. People get sick and people are dying. Now, I mean, of course, the media blows everything out of proportion. I understand that. But we've got some people in this church who are sickly. They're sickly. And I got to die. I'm their pastor too. You two will probably never get sick. You probably already had and don't even know it. And you too hard-headed to get sick. But there's some older folks in this church that's scared to death they're going to get it and die, because mostly it's people over 60 years old with pre-existing conditions. And I've had to pray and pray and pray, and I try to get advice from people instead of helping me and giving me what they thought, they would just, well, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about that? I'd like to know this. I'd like to know that. Well, I'd like to know that too. That's why I called you. I don't want any of these people to get sick, much less die. I'm their pastor. I plan on preaching all of your funerals, but I don't want to be the cause of your funeral. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
This ain't like calling off Sunday school and starting it back. This is people's lives we're dealing with. And I've prayed and I've talked to people. And listen, I believe we'll reopen the church in steps, just like I said, because other people are doing that way, and that's the only way I know to do it, is how other people are doing it. I know some people in this church want me just to open the door and say, oh, come on in. But they ain't never been sick a day in their life. And they certainly don't have cancer, and they don't have high blood pressure or diabetes. So I can't do that. So we're doing it in steps. We're going to see how it works. Now, I'm telling people, if you disagree or maybe you're fearful and you can't come yet, that's fine. Don't come. Or if you disagree and think, well, we'll just open the doors and let them all come in, and the pastor hasn't got the faith he ought to have or he to do that, yeah, you become pastor and let's see how you do it. See, you ain't never done it. That's the problem. You never done it. And I care. See, the only one you have to care about is you. I got to care about all of them.
Amen.
And I love them anyway. I'm not going to put them in any serious trouble. Amen. Now, I look forward to the day when we can open church, just have simple church. Like we always had. Just simple church. We're not fancy around. Just simple church. I look forward to that. I even said it. When we open the doors, we're going to have a time. People are going to run the aisles and they're going to jump and hug. No, we're not doing that. No, we're not doing that. If you want to run the aisle, that's fine. Run out and run around the building and come back. Wash your hands on the way back in. Amen. Hey, man, that's good preaching. Wash your hands. Billy Burgess said that, okay. Now, I look forward to it. I look forward. I don't know if it's going to be in June or July, but we're going to have I Love My Church Sunday. We're going to have I Love My Church Sunday. And I know, listen, this virus is never going away. It's here. It'll never go away. It'll be back every year, just like the flu is every year. They're going to get shots for it, and some people ain't going to take the shots, and they're going to get it. But it's here to stay. So it's going to be hard to get back to having simple church again because of people being fearful and then others being judgmental that we don't go far enough. Now, I look forward to when we can worship together again in spirit and truth, not in Facebook. Thank God for the Facebook Live. But I look forward to when we get together again and worship God in spirit and truth in person. But don't get mad at me because I don't do it the way you think it ought to be done. I'm pastor. I didn't ask for this job. He called me to it. It's my job to watch the sheep, okay? Even the dumb sheep. So I'm going to do it the way I think he wants me to do it. Now, if somebody gets sick, is that my fault? No, it's not. It's not. Wash your hands. Take care of yourself. Stay away from sick people. And we don't even know who's got it. So you really can't do that all the time. Every time you go to the grocery store, there's a chance. Every time you go to the drugstore, there's a chance. Every time you go over there to Wendy's and get that bag through the window, that guy ain't wearing gloves. You don't know whether he's got it or not. Or down there at Burger King or somewhere else. There's a thing called faith. We just got to live by faith and die by faith.
Amen.
But we're not going to be reckless.
Right.
He said be careful in everything. Now, I want you to help your poor preacher, okay? Number one, I want you to pray all week that this coming Sunday, these two services will turn out right and good. All right? And then that next Sunday, do it again. We're not inviting a bunch of visitors. This is hard for me not to invite people to church. Because spreading people out, we're barely going to have room for the ones we got. But then after a few weeks, I'm going to have to decide again. Are we just going to open the door on June the 7th like everybody else? So pray for me, okay? And then do this. Virus or no virus, remember what you've been taught. Remember how you were raised in the faith. Remember how God's already answered prayers. Remember that. And then practice that. Live like you remember that. And others will see Christ in you, the hope of glory. And there's some hopeless people out there scared to death. They're going to die. And we've got the light.
Yes, sir.
That'll burn up that fear. Now, if you're not saved tonight, you probably thought I was just ranting and raving. And I was a little bit. But you know what? Virus or no virus, pastor or no pastor, you have to face God one day. Whether you like me or not, you're going to have to do what I'm saying. You're going to have to admit you're a sinner. Because the Bible says all have sinned. You're going to have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says so. And you're going to have to go farther than that. You're going to have to call on Him and ask Him to save you. Because the Bible says so. If you'll do that, He'll save you. How you know, preacher? Because the Bible says so.
Yeah.
And then some of you Christians, you're scared to death. Perfect love casts out fear. I'm not talking about being wise. I'm not talking about being cautious. I'm talking about being so scared that you can't do anything. That's unbelief. You need to ask God to forgive you of that. Put your life in His hands. Put your life in His hands. Father, bless the reading of Your Word today. You know who's here. You know who's there. You know everybody's watching and listening. I pray You'd save some sinner, reclaim some backslider. Bless You, saints. And I want to thank You for the ones that are so faithful and loving at Cornerstone Baptist Church. Thank You for our church, Lord. Would You open us up and let us get back to church again, please? Remove this disease, this plague, this pestilence. And give us that freedom in Christ again. Give us holy boldness again. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Rachel's going to play for just a minute. We're going to sing, I lost my song number.
298.
What is it?
298.
Rachel's going to play 298. Now, if you need to get saved tonight, you make an altar right there in front of your couch, or if you're in the car, pull over or something. If you need to get right with God, make your altar right there on the side of your bed or wherever you're sitting. Let's sing all three verses, 298.